What all normal stars are doing is they're burning a gas called hydrogen and they're turning it into helium. And they do that for millions or even billions of years. Our sun has been busily turning hydrogen to helium for about 5 billion years now. And the good news is it's got about another 5 billion years to go before it starts to run out of fuel. It's been going for about half its life so far. Now, eventually the sun will run out of fuel. And when it does, that's a bit sad because we'll be in a bit of trouble. Just like a car running out of petrol, the sun will start to hiccup. And the first thing it will do is it will become very, very large. It'll become about 30 times its current size. And that's very bad news because when it does that, it will actually swallow up the whole Earth. So that would be a really good time to start looking for a new place to live, 5 billion years from now. So it's going to swell up and swallow the Earth, and that's the end of our home. It'll then shrink down and become quite small. It'll hiccup again and become very large again, shrink down again, and then probably it's completely run out of fuel and it will simply turn off and switch off. So I can have the next picture. When that happens, the sun is going to look something like this. This is another picture from the planet, from the Hubble Space Telescope, and it's an object called a planetary nebula. Nebula is just a word meaning a cloud, and planetary because when people first looked at these things through small telescopes, they thought they were little planets. But we now know they're not planets at all. They're something very different. They're a star dying. And what's happened to this star, which is called now called the Ring Nebula? This one is 5,000 light years away, and it's in a constellation called Lyra, which is the Harp. What's happened is the star has switched off, and very gently the outer layers of the star have just drifted off into space. And it makes this nice, pretty ring. And what will happen over about 10,000 years is this ring just moves further and further apart and gets fainter and fainter and eventually disappears. And you can see there's something else as well. Right at the centre there is a little white spot. Hopefully you can see that. And that's a strange type of object called a white dwarf. And that's basically the centre of the star that is left behind. And this is a rather odd object. Oh, my pointer's... Yeah. Okay, so this little white dwarf, firstly, it's only the centre of the star, so it's quite small. It's only about the size of the Earth, which is absolutely tiny for a star. Because it's the centre of the star, it's also very hot. It's about 1 million degrees Celsius. And the other incredible thing about a white dwarf is that they're incredibly dense. All the stuff from the star has now been squeezed so tightly together that one spoonful weighs about 2 or 3 tons, about as much as an elephant. Imagine one spoonful of stuff weighing as much as an elephant. So that's a white dwarf, very, very dense object, and my pointer's died. And so that's what's going to happen to our sun. You have this little ring expanding upwards. You have a white dwarf, which is very hot and very small. It will eventually cool down and become dark, and that will be the end of our system, our solar system. So not all of them look like that, though. We get all sorts of different, wonderful, weird shapes and sizes of these planetary nebulae. Every star dies differently. So we get some which are sort of big round things, some which have sort of got pointy ends, some which have got hourglass shapes. We don't really understand why we get all these different shapes. Every one of them is beautiful, but every one of them is different. But it seems that for various complicated reasons, every star dies in a different way. So it's nice knowing that at least our star will look really pretty in some way. That hopefully someone else will have a Hubble Space Telescope and they can look at it when we go. Now, this is normal stars. Most stars are a lot like the sun or even smaller. They're very average stars and they all live for about 10 billion years and then they die just like this. But some stars are much bigger. Not many, but some stars are much, much bigger than the sun. And we're talking about 10 times heavier, about 10 times brighter, and about 10 times hotter. And because these stars are so bright and so hot, they gobble up their fuel extremely quickly. They turn on, they eat up all their fuel, and it's gone straight away. They only live for just a blink of an eye, about 10 million years. Now, 10 million years is a long time for me, and it's probably a long time for you as well. But for a star, it's not long at all. Just compare the sun to one of these stars that lives really quickly. The sun's going to live for 10 billion years. These only live for 10 million. That's 1,000 times quicker. So if you say that the sun was a person, and the sun's going to live for, say, 100 years, then at the moment the sun's about 50 years old, it's halfway through its life. But one of these big stars only gets to live for 1 month. So much, much shorter live. They're born, they turn on, and then they die straight away. And they die in very spectacular fashion. If you want to understand what happens to one of these stars when they die, you first have to understand what's going on when they're alive. And the reason why stars are the same every day, why the sun is the same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow, is because it's in perfect balance. There are two forces acting in the sun, and they cancel each other out. The first of those forces is gravity. The sun is very big, and you've got gravity pulling inwards, trying to squeeze everything towards the centre. But the other thing you've got going on in the sun is that it's very hot. It's about 6,000 degrees Celsius on the surface and about 10 million degrees Celsius at the centre. And the heat of the sun is pushing everything out. Just like when you fill a balloon with hot air, it expands. The heat of the sun is pushing out. So you've got gravity pushing in and heat pushing out. The two things cancel exactly and nothing ever changes. But when a star reaches the end of its life and it runs out of fuel, the heat stops. So if you've no longer got heat pushing out, you've only got gravity pulling in. And then the star all of a sudden is in big trouble. Because it's not balanced anymore, it starts to collapse. It starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and everything starts to get squeezed tighter and tighter. And it turns out you actually can't keep doing this forever. If you keep collapsing a star down, eventually all the atoms start to push into each other. You get to a point where the star is so dense, before we talked about a white dwarf where one teaspoon weighs about as much as an elephant, well, imagine material so dense that one teaspoon now weighs about the same as 10,000 Sydney Harbour Bridges. So we're talking unbelievably dense here. And atoms don't like being squeezed that hard together. When it gets to that point, the atoms are being pushed so hard together that, like a spring rebounding, the whole thing just blows apart in a huge explosion called a supernova. It just can't take being squeezed anymore, and it rebounds and blows up. And these explosions are unbelievable. Now, one of these stars lives for 10 million years. Take all the light and all the heat from one of these stars over 10 million years, add that all up, and it lets that all go again in just 1 second. So in 1 second, it gives off more light and heat than it has its entire life added up. If a supernova actually went off near us, we'd know about it. It'd be so bright that you could actually see the explosion in broad daylight. You could look up in the sky, and there would be the explosion. And it would be like that for a few days or a few weeks before it faded away. Unbelievably bright. That sounds pretty incredible, you know, a star actually blowing up so near us that you could see it in broad daylight. It turns out it's actually happened. So here is actually a cave painting, and this is from a place called Chaco Canyon, which is in New Mexico in the southern United States. And this is a painting made by an Aztec tribe. And they made this painting not long after the 4th of July in the year 1054, 945 years ago. And let's see what they painted. They painted a hand, and the hand for them was a sign meaning this was something really important. They painted the moon, and the moon is saying, that's just showing you where the moon was in the sky that particular night, so you can work out where everything was. And they painted this star. And what they actually saw happen, well, they saw a star suddenly appear in broad daylight, and they were pretty excited about it, and they thought they better make a painting of it. And what they actually saw happen on the 4th of July, 1054, was they saw a supernova go off. Of course, they didn't know that's what was happening, but we now know what was going on was that a star exploded and that this tribe saw it. And they're not the only ones that saw it. All over the world, people saw this happen in the year 1054, and they wrote it down. The Chinese saw it, the Japanese saw it, all over the place. And a lot of people made very careful records of what they saw. And because they did, we can actually work out exactly where in the sky this was. And it turns out it was in the constellation of Taurus. And so if we point our telescopes at this exact part of the sky today, we see this. And this is an object called the Crab Nebula, because it looks a little bit like a crab, maybe. And the actual explosion itself was right at the centre of the explosion. And you can see that what's happened in the last 945 years is the bits of the star have gone everywhere. All the stuff you can see is just the guts of the star thrown out in all directions. And so this is called a supernova remnant. It's the remnant of a supernova. And so this is great. We're actually seeing the remains of the explosion left behind. We can see the explosion, and then we can follow what happens next. So this one happened in 1054. It'd be really interesting to see what would happen in one that happened more recently. The only catch is that these things don't happen very often. We've worked out that on average, in our galaxy, the Milky Way, there are 400 billion stars in our galaxy, but it's only every 100 years that one of them blows up. So you really have to wait a long time between explosions. But 100 years is not too bad. It's about once per lifetime. So you'd think that, you know, in the last 100 or 200 years, we would have got lucky, would have seen a supernova go off, and we've been able to study it. But as it turns out, we've been really, really unlucky. Even though on the average, we have a supernova every 100 years, we haven't actually had one in our galaxy since 1604. And the telescope was invented in 1608. Which is very sad. Ever since we've had telescopes, we haven't actually been able to see a supernova in our own galaxy. But it's not, all's not lost though, because there are an awful lot of galaxies out there. I showed you in that very first picture, the Hubble Deep Field, that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of galaxies. So while we haven't seen a supernova in our own galaxy since 1604, there are lots of other galaxies to look at. The catch is that those other galaxies are further away, but we can still see it happen. So if we can just make that brighter and zoom in. So this is another picture of the Hubble Space Telescope. Can we zoom in? Okay, so this is a galaxy called the Whirlpool Galaxy. It's another spiral galaxy. It looks a bit like a whirlpool. And it's in a constellation called Canis Venetici, which is the hunting dogs, another one you've probably never heard of. And so here's the galaxy. The same deal as before. We've got the yellow stars at the centre and the spiral arms. You can see here's this little arrow, and there's one little tiny little spot, which is actually a supernova. If you would have taken this picture a month before, that spot wouldn't have been there. That's just a little explosion going off. So while we can find these supernovae in other galaxies, you can see that because they're so much further away, we can't see any detail. We can't see what's going on there. All we see is a little spot that fades away. And we'd really like to see that happen nice and close up in our own Milky Way so we can see what happens. Now, as I said, we haven't seen a supernova go off in our own galaxy since 1604, but we can see what's left behind. We can see these supernova remnants, things like the Crab Nebula. Just hang on a sec. Let's make it a bit darker. Now what happens is long after the explosion, all the light has died away, all the stuff from the explosion, the stuff thrown out by the star, is still flying off in all directions. And it turns out that space isn't actually empty. Even though it's called space, it's not empty. It's full of all sorts of bits and lumps and clumps of gas, just like that big dark cloud that we showed at the start there, which is where all the baby stars are born. And what happens after the explosion is that all the bits from the star fly outwards in all directions and smash into these lumps and clumps of gas, and they make it start to glow. So you eventually see a big smoke ring form from the explosion. All the bits fly out everywhere, smash into the stuff around them, and make a smoke ring. Now, even with the Hubble Space Telescope, it turns out that these smoke rings are invisible. You can't see them in normal light, no matter how powerful a telescope you use. You have to use a different sort of telescope called a radio telescope, and I'll show you some pictures of them a little bit later on. But if you use a radio telescope, you can see these smoke rings. And so here is a picture of the sky made with a radio telescope, and you can see all the smoke rings. So there's a nice, I have to use my fingers, there's a nice bright one up there in the middle. Can you see that big bright smoke ring? That one's about 10,000 years old. Just to the up and left of it, you can see another smoke ring, which is about 5,000 years old. If you look very carefully at the very top there on the left, can you see two really faint smoke rings? Can you see them? And there's another one down here. These things are all over the place. So even though we haven't seen a supernova since 1604, it turns out these smoke rings actually last for thousands of years. So we can't see the supernovas, but we can at least see the smoke rings they leave behind. But ideally, if we wanted to put the whole picture together and understand what was going on, we want to see the supernova, and then we want to see the smoke ring that it makes too. And that would put the whole picture together. Thanks very much, everyone.